Oh, I didn't tell you, but in 2008, you'll have to retire on disability because your body can't keep up and your short-term memory is affected by the HIV meds. But the HIV is under control. You're not dying anytime soon that I can see now. But you're running out of insurance again, and Medicare seems to be the only option. New meds came out for the hepatitis C. You're cured now of that. What? I didn't mention that earlier? Sorry. Guess what? You have an adult daughter and son and four grandchildren from your daughter. And her two boys don't have hemophilia, which Amanda is a carrier because she's the daughter of somebody with hemophilia. That automatically makes her a carrier. And that means her sons have a 50% chance, each one of them, of having hemophilia, and her daughters have a 50% chance of being carriers. And the daughters have not been tested, but the boys are fine. And that's a huge relief because that was my biggest worry for a long time when she started having kids, that she was going to have one with hemophilia. And I just didn't see how in the world her and David would ever deal with it properly. And I said, that's right. You're going to marry that girl you started dating in May of 99. Your 35th anniversary is fast approaching. She still loves you. Go figure. It's actually a week from Monday. There are some other things that I wish I could tell you that would profoundly change your life. But I'm only allowed to write about hemophilia in this letter. Wait a minute. I'm going to break that rule one time. Don't go to work on Christmas Day, 1982. Spend it with your mom or with your family. They're all home because mom is real sick. She's going to die this day. And you missed being there by a few minutes. Please spend time with her. The doctors think she has 3 more months. They are wrong. And it's going to hurt deeply for a long time. I'm praying for you as I know you need it. Your future self, Martin. Well, one of the things that I really want to talk about tonight, because I can share more with you than I could in this letter, where I said there are some other things that would profoundly change your life. You know, those are the religious things that I couldn't write about in that letter. And, you know, I talked about this a little bit at Washington last week because I wanted to talk about making correct choices. We tend to, as Bob brought out last night in his sermon, when we talk about when people think Christians are all about what you can't do, or the things that, you know, where they think that we're hypocritical because, well, I won't do that or I won't do that, you know, and they tend to think that the commandments that we have, people think of them as punishments, but they're not. They're guidelines to a happier life. Because I can look at my own life, choices that I've made, things that I've done that I regret. If I would have paid more attention to the commandments, if I would have been a more conscientious believer in the choices that I made, when I look back, some things wouldn't be painful like they are. You know, and I was glad last week because we had a lot of young people there. And I really wanted them to think about the choices they make. You know, most of you in here are older. You're not young people anymore. I don't think there's any teens in here just yet. And probably not even any 20-somethings anymore. You know, and there's some 40-somethings maybe. Some 50-somethings, maybe. Maybe even some 80-somethings. You know, and for most of us, we've made a lot of choices over the years. Maybe sometimes they weren't the right choices. Maybe sometimes we look back thinking about things that we could have done differently, where if we'd paid more attention to what we were taught in church, if we'd paid more attention to the scriptures, that we wouldn't have some of the struggles that we have now. You know, we can remember that Jesus is our advocate to his Father. He approaches him on behalf with our needs, our desires. When Elman, the sons of Mosiah, were teaching the Lamanites, they were advocating or preaching to them. Their advocacy converted thousands of the Lamanites to become followers of Jesus Christ. If you turn to the third chapter, or the third book of Nephi, page 654, that's the ninth chapter. I got to back up a little bit from where I'm at. I don't think I'm going to make an hour and a half, but we'll see. I might. Then I'll be tied with Hugh. Let's look at chapter 9, verses 1 through 24, and then 28 to 30. And I'm going to read kind of quickly here. And now it came to pass that when Jesus had ascended into heaven, the multitude did disperse, and every man did take his wife and his children and did return to his own home. And it was noised abroad among the people immediately before it was yet dark that the multitude had seen Jesus, and that he had ministered unto them, and that he would shew himself on the morrow unto the multitude. Yea, and even all the night it was noised abroad concerning Jesus, and how much they did send forth unto the people, that there were many, yea, an exceeding great number, did labor exceedingly all that night, that they might be on the morrow in the place where Jesus would shew himself unto the multitude. That was some serious advocacy work going on that night, wasn't it? I mean, they were going around knocking on doors if they were living in houses or whatever situation they were in at that point, and they're like, you got to come. Jesus is, he was here today. He's coming back tomorrow. You got to be there. You know, they were excited. You know, are we excited? Are we sharing our testimonies when we talk to people? Are we telling them, you know, you got to come. Jesus is coming. We don't know exactly when, but he is going to come back. And he wants to offer us peace, contentment, a lack of regret. Let's go on here. Verse 4. And it came to pass that on the morrow, when the multitude was gathered together, behold, Nephi and his brother, whom he had raised from the dead, whose name was Timothy, and also his son, whose name was Jonas, and also Methoni, and Methanahah, and his brother, and Cumen, and Cumenahai, and Jeremiah, and Shemnon, and Jonas, and Zedekiah, and Isaiah. Now these are the names of the disciples whom Jesus had chosen. And it came to pass they went forth and stood in the midst of the multitude. And behold, the multitude was so great that they did cause that they should be separated into 12 bodies. And the 12 did teach the multitude. And behold, they did cause that the multitude should kneel down upon the face of the earth and should pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus. And the disciples did pray unto the Father also in the name of Jesus. And it came to pass that they arose and ministered unto the people. And when they had ministered those same words which Jesus had spoken, nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken, behold, they knelt again and prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus, and they did pray for that which they most desired, and they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given unto them. Now, I have to think about this for a couple minutes. Here's these 12 guys that yesterday Jesus was there, and he was teaching them. Now, the next morning, after they've probably been out with everybody else all night trying to get people there, they're teaching them every word that Jesus taught them. Yeah, and I know that my memory isn't that good. I couldn't do that except with the leading of the Holy Ghost. That's the only way that I can imagine that these fellows could word for word repeat the stuff they heard the day before. And it says, nothing varying. 11. And when they had thus prayed, they went down to the water's edge, and the multitude followed them. And it came to pass that Nephi went down into the water and was baptized. And he came up out of the water and began to baptize, and he baptized all they whom Jesus had chosen. And it came to pass that when they were all baptized and had come up out of the water, the Holy Ghost did fall upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And behold, they were encircled about as it were fire, and it came down from heaven, and the multitude did witness it and do bear record, and the angels did come down out of heaven and did minister unto them. Can you imagine that scene? Now just think about that. Could you imagine watching these 12 guys come up out of the water after being baptized and angels come down? Amazing. And it came to pass that while the angels were ministering unto the disciples, behold, Jesus came and stood in the midst and ministered unto them. And it came to pass that he spake unto the multitude and commanded them that they should kneel down again upon the earth, and also that his disciples should kneel down upon the earth. And it came to pass, when they had all knelt down upon the earth, he commanded his disciples that they should pray. And behold, they began to pray, and they did pray unto Jesus, calling him their Lord and their God. And it came to pass that Jesus departed out of the midst of them, and went a little way off from them, and bowed himself to the earth, and he saith, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given the Holy Ghost unto these whom I have chosen. And it is because of their belief in me that I have chosen them out of the world. Father, I pray thee that thou wilt give the Holy Ghost unto all of them that shall believe in their words. Father, thou hast given them the Holy Ghost because they believe in me. And thou seest that they believe in me because thou hearest them. And they pray unto me, and they pray unto me because I am with them. And now, Father, I pray unto thee for them, and also for all they which shall believe on their words, that they may believe in me, that I may be in them, as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one. And it came to pass that when Jesus had thus prayed unto the Father, he came unto his disciples, and behold, they did still continue without ceasing to pray unto him. And they did not multiply many words, for it was given unto them what they should pray, and they were filled with desire. You know, when I read where he says, let me find it here again. And now, Father, I pray for thee, unto thee for them, and also for all they which shall believe on their words. Well, if you think about that for a minute, that's us. We believe on these words. Jesus Christ at that time, 2,000 years ago, prayed for us. Not just for the people there, but he prayed for people in the future, for all mankind. If they would believe in him, his desire is to be with them, to show them his peace, the contentment that we can have. Let's go over to verse 28. And he turned from them again and went a little way off and bowed himself to the earth. And he prayed unto the again unto the Father, saying, Father, I thank thee that thou hast purified these which I have chosen because of their faith. And I pray for them, and also for them which shall believe on their words, there's us again, that they may be purified in me through faith on their words, even as they are purified in me. Father, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me out of the world, because of their faith, that they may be purified in me, that I may be in them as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one, that I may be glorified in them. You know, it lifts my heart when I think about my Heavenly Father praying for me. You know, little insignificant me. You know, it's like I think Brian was saying this morning that we're just a speck. You know, we're just here for a short time. But we're what he's concerned about. Our souls are what he's concerned about. Let's see. Let's look at Proverbs in the third chapter for a minute here. The rest of these should be fairly quick, maybe. Third chapter, Proverbs, I'm going to read 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, there's oftentimes I think I know better than anybody else. When I'm leaning on my own understandings, that's usually when I make the biggest mistakes. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, there's been too many times when I was directing my own paths instead of listening to see where I was supposed to go. That plays into some of those regret thoughts about thinking of times when, you know, if I'd have just done something else, things would have been easier for me. My life would have been happier, more content. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You know, I don't know if I'm too concerned if my belly button's happy or not, but that may be not what they meant about a navel back then. You know, and if you think about it in a medical aspect, if we don't have good bone marrow, we're not healthy. You know, our bone marrow is where a lot of our blood is manufactured, and we need those things. We need that stuff to be healthy. Let's go over to St. John, the 15th chapter, one verse. Verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know, that's pretty powerful. You know, he set that example of, I always do what my dad tells me. If dad told me to do this, that's what I do. Jesus didn't go off doing his own thing. He did what he was instructed of his Father. Now, that's what he expects of us, to do what he instructed us. And his instructions came from God. And now I'm going to reuse, you've heard this twice already today, but you're going to hear it again. Let's go to the 17th chapter of Alma, page 441. I just can't resist. Excuse me. And like Brian, I'm going to read 65 through 70 and verse 79. I'm not going to read through 84 like Hugh did. I'm not going to expound quite as much as Brian did because he gave us a really good explanation of these verses this morning. But I want to share my thoughts just shortly on these verses. Another way to kind of to look at it just a little bit. Starting at verse 65. And now, my son, remember the words which I have spoken unto you. Trust not those secret plans unto this people, but teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them never to be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest to their souls. Oh, remember, my son, learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord. And whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if ye do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day. Verse 79. For behold, it is as easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point to you a straight course to eternal bliss, as it was for our fathers to give heed to this compass, which would point them unto a straight course to the promised land. And what I want you to think about is kind of what I was talking about earlier. And this was, you know, Brian talked a lot about this section here. And I was glad he didn't bring out this one point, which is what I'm thinking, is if you do these things, if you follow these directions, when you get to a point later in life, like where I am, where a lot of us are, if you did these things, you're not going to have a bucket full of regrets to think about. If you did the righteous things all of your life, you're not going to have those things weighing you down. You're going to have had a life with peace, contentment. I'm not saying you won't have struggles. We're going to have difficulties. It doesn't matter how good, how perfect we think we are. We're still going to have obstacles and things that we have to deal with. And sometimes those things are tests to see how we react. To see, are we going to curse God because he put something on us? Or are we going to praise him for the opportunity to testify of his love for us? Because we always have that choice. You always have the opportunity when you're faced with a trial to make a choice when you deal with it. Whether when you're, if you're talking to somebody, are you going to tell them, oh man, God just beat me down with a hammer. My life is so awful. Or are you going to say, you know, the Lord brought me through this. The Lord blessed me through one of the hardest times of my life, and I want to give him praise and glory. I hope that each of us will have that desire to give him praise and glory, and that our testimonies will be a work of advocacy for him. Thank you.
Number 190 as a closing song, number 190. While you're looking that up, I'll remind you that tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, we'll have a sacrament service. So please, as Paul admonished us, to examine ourselves, come prepared to renew our covenant with our Lord, and that will begin at 10 o'clock here. I think that's all I really need to announce. Okay. Number 190, the Lord is my shepherd. If you're able, would you please stand and sing?
you bow with me in prayer?
My kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we're grateful for the time that you have given us to meet and to hear your word. I'm grateful, Father, for the instruction and for the admonition, Lord. Our Lord, pray that you would help us to be an advocate for you in those places wherein we encounter those that would be seeking you, Lord. I pray that you'd be with us each as we go our separate ways this night. I pray for your watch, care, and protection upon us as we travel. And as we would return in the morning, I pray, Father, for your Spirit to be with us, to touch our minds and our hearts so we would be prepared to be in your presence and to renew the covenant that we have made in the waters of baptism to witness to thee, Lord, that we desire you always. I pray for the many who are sick and afflicted, both physically and spiritually, that you care for their needs. I pray, Father, for the many who are scattered and isolated. And I do ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.